Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
The Bastards of Boston Baseball Podcast.
Back to Folk. Red Sox fans have longed to hear it. The Boston Red Sox are world champion. Game over, series over, and the Red Sox are world champs again.
Yes, indeed. Here it comes. Another edition of the Bastards of Boston Baseball.
Welcome in, everyone. You are listening to the Bastards of Boston Baseball. Red Sox win their second straight game today against the Cleveland Guardians. Probably one of the strangest wins we will see. Brian Baio uncharacteristically struggled throughout the game. And probably the strangest home run you'll ever see. Joining me, Jeremy Schilling. Chris Felico. I am Terry Cushman. How are you guys?
I'm good, man.
Yeah, no, I'm doing pretty well.
Well, good. I'm doing okay. I think go ahead, Jeremy.
I mean, how can you not be good at it? What are they? 9-3 in their last 12. They're beating teams that are potentially going to be in the playoffs. So it looks like the Guardians are fading fast. The Pittsburgh series will confuse me for the rest of the season, but it seems to be a blip, and blips happen. Today, my big takeaway was Baio did not have his stuff. And when he missed poorly, yet he found a way to get through five and keep him in the game. So you kind of take it, you know, finding a way to win on a day where your number two starter just doesn't have it. A couple more takeaways for me is 14 hits. Great to see. And they did leave 12 left on base, but with runners in scoring position, they were 4-for-14. So I know we're going to talk about the home run and some other things, but I don't know how you can't be in a good mood about this Red Sox team that they've now put the weird two losses to the Pirates behind them. It looks like they're back to winning. So why not be excellent, Terry? Why not?
Yeah. It was a weird game. I think the fact that Cleveland scored, what, four runs, and I think it was only eight hits? It's kind of odd. That's a lot of runs for obviously only eight hits. But, you know, it was a game where this could have been a prototypical Red Sox loss, right? Blue Jays at the time were losing. Baio didn't have his stuff. We had a 2-0 lead. All of a sudden, the game is 3-2 in the blink of an eye. Bases are loaded. No outs. I'm thinking to myself, oh, here we go. Blue Jays are going to lose. Of course, we're going to lose. We're going to gain no ground. But to your point, Jeremy, Baio was able to kind of stick in there. He didn't have his best stuff. Earlier in the game, I do think there was a couple of calls that did not go his way. That could have been some punch outs. And he didn't show frustration like he has in the past, but he just clearly wasn't hitting his targets. He hung in there, kept us in there enough for our offense to kind of wake up. I mean, yeah, I'm ecstatic about 14 hits. I would like to see, you know, more consistency from our offense, double-digit hits on a night-in and night-out basis or day-in and day-in at this point. But, yeah, I mean, you can't be upset. Obviously, Toronto ended up losing, so that was great. And the Yankees are off, so I'm in a good mood.
Yeah, I said yesterday, and I've said for much of the past week and a half, we are going to be a postseason team. It's just a matter of where are we going to be seated? Can we win the division? If we scuffle, are we going to slip down to the 5 or 6 seed? I don't know. But the rotation is starting to show cracks, though. Dustin May doesn't look like he really belongs in it. Lucas Giolito has scuffled a lot lately, except for two starts ago. I think he had like 5 walks yesterday. I'm not worried about Bayo today. I think in this case, that definitely was just a blip, and I think he'll get kind of back on track. But so you've got the pitching question marks. You're going to have Kyle Harrison pitching at some point. I forgot to look at the schedule to see if that's been announced. It'll probably be either him or Tolley on Wednesday, and then the other one will pitch Friday. So there's just a lot of uncertainty for me. And, but the schedule is very favorable. So
the schedule is very favorable. The thing I'm not worried about Giolito, and I'm not worried about Bayo, and obviously Crochet is our lean on ace. The thing that my takeaway from since I've been on the show is Tolley. And I know it was the Pirates, and I know they're an absolutely wretched offense, although they found a way to beat us up a little bit. I don't know, man. He's kind of, to me, he's kind of got that it factor. I went back and watched his last Triple-A start. He pitches with pace. He's a big dude. He comes downhill at you. He'll challenge hitters. First start against Skeens, I actually was on the show before that. And I was like, what a spot to put a guy in that was pitching in college this time last year. And I know he's pitching against the lineup, but he was pitching against Paul Skeens, who's the phenom, face of the league type of guy. And you're out there and your thought is, if I give up a run, I'm going to lose. What a way to go into your first major league appearance. And what does he do? He out pitches Paul Skeens. And I don't know what his role is going to be for the postseason, but I think he clearly looks like he's going to be a part of this thing. So I don't know if he starts game four, he's in the bullpen and he has those, you might be able to put him in a high leverage inning. We're going to find out, but that was, there's no reason not to be optimistic on the other end of it and totally start, Terry. Don't you agree?
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. And I can't stand when, you know, whether it's commentators or even sports fans say that, like, oh, quarterbacks don't face each other, goaltenders don't face each other, pitchers don't face each other. If you're any one of those positions, you know damn well who the other person on the other side of the field is, that you have to match pace for pace, whether it's throw for throw, shot for shot, save for save, pitch for pitch. And to your point, it's like, you know, all right, I can't give up that many hits. I can't give up a run because Paul Skeens isn't. I mean, that's the thought I'm sure that Peyton Tolley had going into that game. And yeah, he did outduel him to a certain point. And considering it was his first start, it was extremely impressive. It is the Pirates. So it's kind of, you know, they're not the greatest offense in the world. although you wouldn't know that watching them over the weekend playing the Sox. But yeah, I think to your point, Terry, I'm excited to see Kyle Harrison come up and see what he has. Obviously we have Peyton Tolley here. It'll be interesting to see what their roles are long term, but I think it's good to have flexibility, especially like you know, Dustin May. He for sure doesn't look like he belongs at the big league level, specifically for the Red Sox right now with the trajectory of going to the playoffs and playing in meaningful spots and games. So I think having more arms in an arms race, flexibility is a good thing.
Do you guys think May will have any chance of success if you transition him to the bullpen where he can be high, you know, high V low, only 15 to 25 pitches? Do you think that his stuff would potentially translate into that role?
I think we're running out of time. I mean, it might be worth a look, but he doesn't have options, so you can't just send him down if it doesn't work out. So that was one of the bigger moves at the deadline. So one might think
one of the only moves.
Yeah. Him and Max. Right. So, you know, one might think, well, you know, does Breslow want to take the total L on it or maybe try to salvage something? So that kind of remains to be seen. And this back end is unsettled and I'm highly encouraged from what we saw with Tolley, especially long-term. Short term, I mean, at a minimum, I think he's the best option of anybody. I think he's a better option than Harrison, better option than Dustin May. If Buehler was still here, obviously a better option than Buehler. So that's good. But he had a really quick hook as soon as that third time through the order came through. And the other thing that just gives me a little bit of skepticism, he was pitching in college baseball last year. In 2024, this was a breakneck speed all the way up through the Red Sox system. you know, to pitching at Fenway Park against the Major League Baseball team. So we'll see. But you know, look at Clay Buchholz. He threw a no hitter in his first or second start. And how did it go for the next year and a half? I think there was a lot of growing pains, and we'll see. I'm just, it's hard for me to get real excited, I guess, is the point I'm trying to make.
What do you think of his demeanor, though? Doesn't he look like a guy who feels like he belongs and doesn't care that he was pitching in college last year? Because that's my interpretation of it. And before you answer, guys, I'm of the mind that Cora put him out there in the sixth after he celebrated getting out of the fifth. It felt final to me. And then you put him back out there in his first start. And then you know, I mean, the whole thing was a bleep show, because then you put in Weiser, who's not a swing and miss guy. But as to Toley, his demeanor, his poise, who he was facing on the other side, like, it leads me to believe some people are ready earlier.
There's a lot to like, and it might work out, but I need to see a little bit more. But having said that, well, I think he is the best option, so we are going to see more.
Well, and that's the timing of bringing it up, right? And then, Chris, I'll let you go. But, like, you bring him up, we have a whole month to find out what we have. I think we're going to be pleasantly surprised.
Hopefully.
Yeah, I was going to say, the fact that he's our best option, I think it's a necessity at this point to see what he has. And as far as his demeanor, I mean, he's got the demeanor. He could be one of our dads. I mean, if we're being honest with ourselves. The way he looks, the way he carries himself.
The mustache,
like, just all, everything about him. But no, I do agree with you as far as, like, Cora throwing him out there in the sixth after he got out of that, you know, that jam in the fifth kind of really cemented things. But, you know, I think the fear and the pause, I think, to Terry's point, is, like, we watch Christian Campbell come right up through the minors out of nowhere and had a little bit of success early and then kind of fell off. You don't want to see the same thing with Peyton Toley. The one thing I would say is, if he does kind of struggle, I do feel like if you put him back in the minors, it's easier to get your confidence back as a pitcher than it is when you start hitting woes at the major league level and then getting back to the minors. So
I don't think that's something we're going to be worrying about. Look, it's one thing. Remember, he started the season in the system at high A, and he pitched his way up through into the bigs, and then that's his first big league start. I mean, I just don't see where he just completely goes off the rails. Plus, he has a plus fastball that he can lean on, 97, 98. Like, if he's throwing strikes, I think he's going to get guys out with the way he's delivers, 6'6", long frame, delivers closer to home plate than some. I add in that demeanor. I'm, and this is kind of scary because I'm not normally, like, the extreme optimist, but for this particular guy, it just feels like he's a dude.
You're chugging the punch, Jeremy, and punch is tasty. So I
don't... Here comes Terry to smack it out of my hand.
No, let me just point this last thing out. And it doesn't have as much to do with Toley, but he's only up here right now because, you know, the chief baseball officer failed epically on getting what we needed and, you know, at the deadline and so on and so forth. I'm not going to criticize the Buehler signing, because I wanted it too. And I thought it was going to be a good one, but so if this thing goes sideways, it's just Breslow looks that much worse.
You know what, Terry? I can't believe I'm about to say this, but given where the team is at this stage of the season, I got to give Breslow, he's done enough to get us in position to go. Now, do I think there's still a hole at first base? I think Wong's been much better, so backup catcher is not such the issue. But for where we are and the way we're playing and the assets available, as we've now just released Buehler and it's next man up, I don't know that I'm going to be Breslow bashing right now. It's not been perfect, but I mean, if you want to go through where we are and some of the things that you can attribute to him, I think he's done his job. And look, and that's, with that said, he blew the deadline. Having Lowe play first base for this team was a lucky thing. I still don't think he's a great option. He's not athletic at all. I also don't love his swing. He's got a weird swing where he doesn't follow through all the way. But I don't know that I need to go at Breslow right now. It just doesn't feel where we are and how optimistic I am to be the move.
Yeah, I'm probably somewhere in the middle of the two of you as far as on Breslow. I think the thing for me is, like, and again, I try to keep context in the picture
Knowing who he is, the choice he was, how he became our general manager at this point. So when he's hit on things, it's worked out well. When he doesn't, it is some big misses. And I think that's the thing with Breslow, is he's done his job relatively well in a lot of spots. And then others, when he misses pretty bad. So it's almost like a wash at this point. And I think it's going to be unfair to truly judge him until we see how the rest of the season plays out. I think, you know, the context of how our season ends matters too. And that goes the same for Alex Cora, because I know like we kind of ride the highs and lows with Cora. There's moments where he seems like he's a great manager. We're like, oh, thank God I have him. And then there's other moments that I'm just like scratching my head. And I'm like, I just wonder if there's better options. And I think the same could be true as far as with the way our season ends, that, you know, those two guys, 2025 will have a different vibe or a different message depending on how things break for us.
So here's another thing with the offense. I just tried to do the math on the fly. In 12 of the last 18 games, whether we won or lost them, some of them were wins, but in 12 of the last 18 games, we've scored 3 runs or less. Like, that's, you know, that's concerning. And then, you know, when we're still trotting out lineups where you've got Romy, Ref Snyder, Eaton, all in the same lineup, I just, it gives me, you know, I just can't help but be skeptical, I guess.
It's a fair point, Terry. And I'm not holding him without blame for the holes, especially, I mean, Yoshida's still here. I know you didn't mention him. That's a problem. Wong's still hitting 189. I think he does not have a home run. So there are certain problems, and there are certain lineups when I see it and I just roll my eyes, but this team finds a way to win, man. And the big important thing for me, and I've said this so many times, is to get this young core into the postseason and let them learn with that pressure on. Everyone's watching that game, you know, and then you ascend next year, and hopefully Breslow, with the support of ownership, will be ready to supplement and fill those holes. And next year is the year where I consider us, or should consider us, contenders. For this year, my goal is to get into a round or two and let these guys learn at that level. And then I think they're poised to be as good as ownership supports.
Yeah, I think, you know, the biggest frustration for me with this team, especially going forward and like thinking about the future, is in a season like this where, you know, the Yankees basically have been, they threw the division and was like, here, someone take it, right? And we weren't really in play for it at one point. Toronto ends up taking it. Now they're at a point where they're like, here, we don't want it. One of you take it. And the Yankees are back in the fold. And do I expect the Red Sox to win the division? No. I think the part for me where it's frustrating is long-term, there's going to be moments in these guys for this core where they're going to have to go take it when the other teams don't want to give it up. Right. And seemingly, do I think the Yankees want to lose division? No. Do I think the Blue Jays? No. But they have done everything to give it away to this point. And we haven't done anything. You know, we've stayed in the mix. We've stayed in the fray, which is encouraging. We're going to make the playoffs. But, you know, once it became almost a foregone conclusion, you know, unless we have an epic collapse, which is definitely possible, but I'm not counting on it, we're going to make the playoffs. So, like, what's the next step? Next step is, okay, well, how do you compete for a division in the next 3 to 5 years consistently, where you're the top dog and you're challenging for a World Series? Now, I know ironically we've won some World Series without having to win the division, without having to be juggernauts. But I think for as much as we've suffered as a fan base and been waiting for the Sox to be good and act like a team from Boston, like, that moment has to come. And you know, they've had the opportunity and the quote unquote chance at experience to go out there and take something. It would just be nice if they were able to show a little bit more fight in that arena. But again, overall, can't complain. They're winning. They're going to make the playoffs more than likely. So that's that.
It's been a very unlikely journey. You know, I mean, we're sitting here in a playoff spot. I think we're I think we got the second wild card at the moment.
Yeah.
We're tied with the Yankees, and we're 2.5 back of the Blue Jays, who lost today with the Yankees idol.
Okay. So, you know, you got to this point after you traded Devers, after Bueller just completely flamed out and you found ways to win. It's been a wonky season. So it makes it impossible to predict, you know, these last 25, 30 games, whatever you have left, and then into October. The big thing is going to be, do we have momentum going into that first wild card game, whether we're hosting it or if we're on the road? That's going to decide everything.
I agree with you. The thing that gives me some solace is that after the Guardians series on Thursday, we're going to fly to the West Coast and play the Diamondbacks and then the Athletics. And then your last real challenge to me is the Yankees. And then it's back with the Athletics, the Rays. And then you go and have a chance to win the division against the Blue Jays in the second to last series. And then you end with the Tigers, who will probably not be playing for anything and setting up Scooble to start, you know, their first playoff game. So the schedule, I think, is going to almost force us to be more consistent, just because I don't think we're going to be losing a bunch of those games against the Athletics, Diamondbacks, and I forgot the other team, but I the schedule sets up well. They're through the hardest part, you know.
Well, that's part of the stars kind of aligning right now. I mean, if we had a tougher schedule, I would probably still say we're a playoff team, but it would be with more cautious optimism instead of me saying right now 100% we're making the postseason.
Yeah, Randy says we're 5.5 game wild card cushion, so we're significantly closer to winning the division than we are not making the playoffs.
The Royals are really the only team that I think can sneak in at this point, and they're not really capitalizing on it, so that's why I think
Texas too, Tara.
Have they climbed back in it?
They're ahead of the Royals.
Oh, they're ahead of the Royals now. Wow. They lost Eovaldi for, I think, the rest of the season. So I just assumed they were cooked after that. But
and to your point, Jeremy, too, I think Detroit, what's going to be interesting with that is because they kind of floundered a little bit the second half, they're now at a point where that last series actually might mean something to them, because they had such a cushion of being one of the top two seeds in the AL that they would avoid the wild card. Right now, Toronto's only one game behind them, and then it looks like the Astros are only 2.5. That series that might make, you know, a difference to them if they don't want to be playing in the wild card.
Fair enough.
Yeah, I mean, I think they might try to position Scooble accordingly, but I don't think the team's going to be dogging it at all in that last series.
It would be nice.
Okay. Well, I think if you're playing to potentially win the division and they know where they're going to be, you know, the hungrier dog runs faster theory runs for me. I mean, they should go win 2 or 3 or whatever it's going to take.
Well, you know what, fair too, is if we're in it for the division at that point, that means we will have beaten Toronto the series before, which then gives the Tigers a leg up on them for that seeding, which means they probably have a little bit of a cushion. So maybe that series doesn't mean as much, but what's encouraging now is that we have the Guardians. It seems like they're pretty much out of it, despite the fact that it seems like they make the playoffs every year and lose to the Yankees in the playoffs. You've got the Yankees going to Houston, which is a huge series for both those teams, because Houston still consistently has not had the ability to put away the Mariners. And I think it's going to be big for whoever wins that division and doesn't end up in the wild card. So this series against the Yankees is going to mean a lot. And listen, they hate the Yankees. So and the Yankees hate them. So if we can continue to win here, maybe we can kind of get a little bit of breathing room again as we start to get closer to that Yankee series. And then maybe that's the moment. You know, you got 3 games at Fenway, take 2 or 3, God willing, maybe you sweep and you leave that series with 3-4 game lead over the Yankees and have a little bit of breathing room and go in with confidence into that Toronto series, maybe with a chance to get the division. And even if you don't, at least knowing that, okay, the wild card number one, we're going to be playing at Fenway as long as everything's within our control. Like, let's just stay the course. That should be the goal.
Just trying to, yeah, neither team has any pitching matchups. We obviously have Crochet tomorrow. Should be.
While you're looking that up, Terry, Chris and Terry, with a month to go, what would be your best guess at how it plays out for the Sox? Where do they finish? Don't jump at once now.
Gun to my head, I would say Sox finish with the second wild card. I think the Yankees are not going to pass Toronto. I think Toronto holds them off. We're going to the Bronx for the first round.
I would say probably about the fourth wild card as well. So I think that puts you at about 92, 93 wins. And, you know, so I'll take that. And I think, let's see, if you're the fourth wild card.
You mean the fourth seed? You're is that what you're playoffs. Saying?
No, fourth seed. Yeah. Fourth seed. I always forget. Who
that means you're the first wild card.
Okay, we play at home, I think.
Yeah, if we're three the games. Seed. Whoever is the number one wild card gets the three games at home.
Yeah, right. So that would be big. I did say, and I meant it, you know, I kind of hope we're the fifth or sixth seeds, though, just so John Henry doesn't get any home games. But, you know, we'll see. Who cares? However it plays out is how it will play out. But I think that our schedule is tougher than you think. I mean, that Oakland team can mash. And I think going into yesterday, they'd only won like four of their last 10. Another team that's really hot right now that we're going to face next weekend is the Arizona Diamondbacks. I don't know if they won today, but coming into today, they'd won seven of their last 10. So mix in a couple of, you know, Oakland series, could be some high scoring games. I don't know how Arizona is going to go. And then you got those last two series of the year, Toronto and Toronto and Detroit. It's like, we're not going to slip out of it, but I don't know how pretty it's going to be. And I don't trust this rotation.
I trust the rotation. I thought Bayo was just a clear day where he just didn't have it. His command was terrible. The ball was running all over the place. So it wasn't like it was flat and in the zone and he just got crushed. He's just all over the place. I think that's, I think he'll bounce back. Giolito, look, Giolito had terrible command. He still went six and only gave up one run. And I'm not worried about Crochet. And obviously, we've already discussed the upside with Tolley, and we'll see how he slots in as the season progresses. But I don't – until there's multiple bad starts in a row where the stuff's just not good, I'm not worried about – these guys keep bouncing back. They've been pitching well since essentially July. They have had bad starts here and there, but every time they bounce back, they haven't given us a reason to believe they won't bounce back.
Let me also point out the preseason predictions that we did right before opening day, I put the Red Sox in the World Series. I had us losing it, but foolishly, you know, not so foolishly. I mean, no one could have foreseen Devers would get traded, but I thought Devers would be on the roster. And this is where I'm kind of foolish. Gun to my head, I would have said, okay, Casas is going to be serviceable. Major L, I'll take it. I didn't think that Roman Anthony would be the only one going into the month of October of your big three. So it's a much different team than what I had anticipated preseason.
Fair enough. And I would think that you didn't think it would be Bayo and Giolito as your clear cut two and three either.
No, my expectations for Giolito were, you know, pretty low, but I figured it would be Crochet and Buehler as your one and two. I figured Bayo would figure it out. You know, he'd be serviceable. He'd be the E-Rod type guy on the staff essentially. And, I didn't know how the back end would quite shake out, but I figured we would do a good job solving those problems, as the season went.
Yeah, I'm leaning more towards Jeremy. I'm not as worried about the starting rotation because
I look at like the progression of the season and I think like their worst moment, if this is their worst or their blips on the radar, like I think about earlier in the season, like a Giolito blip in a Bayo blip last year, looked like a Walker Buehler start every game, right? Or a Dustin May start at this point. I think the fact that Dustin May is not even serviceable at this point, that's probably the most frustrating point or part of this. I think if Peyton Tolley could give you anything, and if God willing, Kyle Harrison is able to give you anything, you're in good shape. I'm more concerned with the offense at this point for all the reasons that you said, Terry. Our plus minus run differential hides a lot of the fact that it is that high because we have put up football scores in a handful of games during this season. But, you know, if you just look at the last week, the Pittsburgh series, I mean, there have been so many moments where they're just one hit gets them out of these slumps and they don't get out of it. And they're not scoring enough runs to be able to keep pace with some of these teams that in the playoffs are going to be able to put up runs if your starters don't perform to their best. And I feel like if there's going to be a demise going down the stretch where we lose momentum and it carries over into the playoffs, I feel like that's going to be what it is. I think it's going to be the offense. It's going to go cold. It's going to be one of those streaks. And it could be a quick exit out of the playoffs if they don't wake up.
I don't expect we'll go deep once we get in there. If we're facing the Yankees, I'll give them that round because the Yankees can't touch us, apparently. So we'll see how that goes. But looking ahead to tomorrow, Garrett Crochet versus Slade. I don't know how Slade, Italian guy. Chris could probably say it. Do you have the name up?
Hold on. What is
it? You're the guy. You're the guy that's qualified for
this. Cessione? Is it like Cessione?
Tomorrow. Let's see. Crochet versus. Yes. Cessione.
Okay.
I don't know. I just made that up. I don't even know.
It's a hard one. When you put the two things together, it's not fair. I mean, for a guy like Slade, you should have a better than a, you know, a 4.41 ERA. I'll just pull his games up real quick. Last three games, let's see. He was pretty good last time out. That was against Tampa Bay. Six innings, six hits on three runs. Didn't walk anybody. Struck out four. Even better, wow, against the Texas Rangers. Six innings pitch, four hits, two earned, didn't walk anybody again. The guy just doesn't walk anybody, but he barely strikes anyone out. Four or less strikeouts in his last three. So who knows? Maybe it's a low-scoring game. Maybe Crochet leaves the game with a one- or two-run lead.
According to Jules, it's Cecchini. Who knows if that's right?
I was just way off.
You can't assume Jules, though. Maybe no offense, Joe. I mean, you got to win the Crochet Day. This is you got to win these games. You got to win these games in the playoffs. You got no shot. So you got to go find a way to get 4 to 6 runs and let Crochet do his thing and play good defense behind him. And you got to win tomorrow. Got to win tomorrow.
I mean, you could say the same pretty much for the rest of the season. I mean, and we've been saying it all season. It's like we can't lose a Crochet start. But like now we really can't afford to lose Crochet starts down this home stretch because he's going to have what? 3 or 4 more starts, Terry?
I would say four. Yeah. Unless we have the luxury, like if we kill it this month and, you know, he doesn't have to make that last one, that would be nice.
Yeah.
That's not the way.
Yeah, I was going to say, Terry. Wishful thinking at best.
I mean, if the math works out, if he's supposed to pitch one of the two or three last games of the year and we're not going to change seeds, then I guess
Terry's got us wrapping up the AL East before the last final week and a half, folks.
No, I still got us in the wild card, but I mean, if the Rangers and the Royals tank. Yeah, so I don't know, but we will be back tomorrow night. Different crew. I think it's Jason, Nick, and Doug. So that sounds like a fun crew. They'll be back to cover whatever the hell did happen. So everyone, hope your Labor Day weekend was good. Back to work tomorrow. Take care.
Love espresso, drip coffee, and cold brew? With the Ninja Luxe Cafe, if you can crave it, you can brew it. Espresso? Balanced. Drip coffee? Rich. Cold brew? In a flash. With Barista Assist technology, you brew with no stress and no guesswork. And make perfect silky microfoam hands-free from dairy or plant-based milks. Bring the coffee house home and unlock your favorites with the Ninja Luxe Cafe.